This podcast is brought to you by Bloomberg Law. For more information about our professional services for the legal industry, please call 212-617-6569.
This is the Bloomberg Law Bankruptcy Review. I'm Lee Pacquiao. Joined now, as always, by Bloomberg News bankruptcy columnist Bill Rochelle. Be sure to go read his daily bankruptcy column. It's available on BloombergLaw.com, and it's also on the Bloomberg Terminal. We have three items today, but before we jump into it, a quick update for our listeners. We're going to be switching formats. We're going to be coming at you from a video format. You'll find it in all the same places that you're able to find the podcast, but we're going to be putting it out on Wednesday afternoons, New York time, so be sure to look for us there. Bill, turning to today's events, we were sitting around for several days without any interesting new bankruptcies, and then we had three in the past 24 hours, so a bit of a banner day for the year. Tell us about Southern Air. That's the big one, I guess.
Well, I got to tell you, just about time. I mean, it had been as quiet as a tomb in bankruptcy land for about the last 10 days, coinciding, I suppose, not coincidentally.
An extended August, as they say.
Or either that or the high holy days. I'm not sure which, but looks like we're back in business. And frankly, folks, that's what usually happens come September, because a lot of managers of bankrupt companies like to go off to Europe in August and ignore their troubles, come back in September and start putting their companies in Chapter 11. And that's what we got here, with some nice new cases, as you said. The first and really good one is Southern Air. That is a cargo airline. At present has 11 wide-bodied aircraft. It is, however, going to dump three of those aircraft, the 747-200 models. So with a little arithmetic, that tells me they will be operating eight wide-bodied aircraft. I think the ones they really like are the 777s. They also have some 747-400s. Almost a majority of the business, I think it's like 44% of the business, is coming from flying for the military. But with the drawdown of troops abroad, that has really kicked a hole in their operating statement, resulting in the Chapter 11 filing in Delaware. As I said, this is a good-sized case. They have about almost $290 million in secured debt and about $31 million owing to trade suppliers. I suspect, however, that the amount of the unsecured debt is going to grow rather substantially because, as I said, looks to me like they're going to be rejecting some aircraft leases, and that will throw off some mighty large claims by those lessors. The company already has agreement with its secured lenders to give them 82.5% of the new stock, and the current owner, Oak Hill Capital Partners, will retain the other 17.5%. Oak Hill came into this situation by buying the company back in, 2006 or 2007. They are intending to propose a Chapter 11 plan that will give unsecured creditors $2 million cash to slice up among themselves. So you can see by a little quick arithmetic that spreading $2 million among $31 million of claims isn't terribly large. And I suppose if we also have some large lease rejection damages thrown into the pot, the amount that unsecured creditors receive, at least in terms of percentage, will be yet smaller. It would appear to me that there is a greater likelihood that the plan does have support from the secured creditors because they have signed up on the dotted line. What we have to wait and see is whether or not unsecured creditors are exercised enough to want to try to block this plan. On the other hand, it's possible that they may decide that they are just so far underwater it is not worth the trouble. In any event, stay tuned. We will see what happened. This is another prepack case in Delaware. And, oh, by the way, a member of the Southern Air Board of Directors is Robert Crandall. You will remember him. He is the former chief executive of AMR, which, of course, as we all know, is now in bankruptcy, although not on his watch.
All right. And, Bill, Metro Fuel is a good-sized case that didn't file either in the Southern District of New York or in Delaware. Where did it file and why?
Brooklyn. Yes, sir, Bob. Brooklyn, which happens to be where the headquarters is. This is, I guess, what you could call an old-style bankruptcy, finding itself in bankruptcy court the hard way. Namely, according to their court filings, they had a chief financial officer who, I guess you might say, phonied up the books. In any event, the papers indicate that the banks were told that there were more accounts receivable than there really were, and as a result, the revolving credit was overdrawn by a cool $18.5 million. And believe me, I have been involved in cases like this in olden times when there is that much of a, shall we say, mistake given to your bank lenders on an asset-backed loan, they tend to get pretty upset, and evidently that's what happened here because these folks called a credit, swept cash, and refused to finance the Chapter 11 case. Because they won't finance, that gave an opening to some of the better-known vulture investors in the world, namely Third Avenue Special Situations Fund and Sam Zell's Zell Credit Opportunities Master Fund. They have come in and offered $10 million in financing for the Chapter 11 case for Metro Fuel, which, by the way, is in the business of delivering heating oil to customers in the New York metropolitan area. They have a fleet of, I think it is, about 55 trucks. In addition, they have a 10-million-gallon fuel terminal in Brooklyn. And on top of that, and this actually, I think, Lee, was a reason they find themselves in bankruptcy, they had cost overruns on a biodiesel plant that would have had capacity of producing 110 million gallons a year of diesel fuel. This company finds itself in Chapter 11. It could be a fun case to follow, especially if there is some fight between the existing lenders and the new lenders who are coming in offering the credit. The reason being that Third Avenue and Zell want their new $10 million loan to have a lien on the assets ahead of the existing banks. And that sometimes does tend to annoy existing lenders. In this case, the existing banks are New York Commercial Bank and Valley National Bank. I'm kind of hoping, Lee, that this is a fun case for you and me to follow.
And finally, a black car operator named Carrie Limousine LA filed in Delaware. Bill, is it really a California-based company or is the name just a misnomer?
Nope, really is. We'll talk about, let's say, the venue of this case in just a second, but let me tell you what it is. You're correct. It's called Carrie Limousine LA. They evidently operate, I guess, what we call black cars. You know, you pick up the telephone, you call for a limousine to pick you up, and Carrie Limousine is in that business in Southern California. Now, let's be clear about one thing. Carrie is a franchise name, so to speak, and this company that filed in bankruptcy is one of 46 companies around the country that use the Carrie trademark, so I don't want anybody to think that the Carrie bus business is in bankruptcy. That is not the case. This particular operator, Carrie Limousine LA, has about 30 independent owner-operators. In other words, I guess 30 cars that folks owned and operated for Carrie Limousine LA. Well, in any event, the way they did business was not exactly to the liking of these owner-operators because they initiated an arbitration out in California, and guess what? The arbitrator concluded that they were improperly classified as owner-operators. Indeed, they were properly classified, so said the operator, as employees. Well, guess what that did? That led to a very large award in arbitration, about $4.5 million, just for a handful of employees that initiated this arbitration. Carrie believes that there very well may be follow-on arbitrations on behalf of other employees, and so therefore the amount of the damages could increase. What did the company do? They filed Chapter 11. Did they file Chapter 11 in their own backyard in Los Angeles? No, they did not. They filed all the way across the country in Delaware. Let's be clear. As a Delaware incorporated entity, it would be very much entitled to file in Delaware. Whether it stays in Delaware is yet to be seen. Lee, this reminds me a good deal of a golf club in, where was it, in Colorado called Cordillera. Mm-hmm. It filed Chapter 11 in Delaware in a big fight with its membership. The members in that case, the Cordillera case, were really the only folks that were the parties in interest in the bankruptcy aside from the debtor. The Chapter 11 filing was on June 26. Quick like a bunny, the members filed a motion to transfer venue. And by the 16th of July, which is to say about, what is it, no less, about 3 weeks later, the bankruptcy court had transferred venue of the case to, you guessed it, Colorado. Ergo, folks, I am beginning to wonder if we will find the same pattern here, whether or not these employees who have the arbitration award will file papers quick like a bunny in Delaware, citing the Cordillera case as a precedent and asking for the case to be transferred to California, Los Angeles, where it would be more convenient for them.
All right, that's what we have for today. If you'd like to learn more about the cases and issues we just discussed, be sure to check out Bill's column. It's available on BloombergLaw.com and also on the Bloomberg Terminal. Thanks for listening and see you on video.
Copyright 2012 Bloomberg Finance LP, all rights reserved. The views expressed herein are those of the speakers and not of Bloomberg Finance LP. These discussions are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as legal advice, which has to be addressed to particular facts and circumstances involved in any given situation. Bloomberg Finance LP and its affiliated entities do not take any responsibility for the content contained herein and do not make any representation or warranty as to its completeness or accuracy.